and nobody there is gay. You want to go to a place where it's not a gay bar.
Hi, everybody.
So, I'm in a good mood today because I realized that it was the ritual more than it was the alcohol that I was missing. It dawned on me that my favorite thing to do is to get on my four-wheeler and go to the local store, make small talk with the people, buy three tall boys, and come back. I realized I don't care what's in the tall boy. The tall boy is irrelevant.
Oh, man, I got dirt all over my hoodie. That's all right. I was working today.
It can be anything. And here's another benefit that's happening. It's all about the ritual. It's like when I quit chewing tobacco and I was just crushing beef jerky. It's just made it so much easier. Arizona just, now this isn't hard iced tea. This is just Arizona iced tea with some ginseng and honey. All right, so got some funny stories for you. Oh, here's another good thing that's coming from me not drinking. Is okay, so Amy never ever told me not to drink, right? Ever. But now that I'm not drinking, she feels more comfortable with waking me up in the middle of the night to have me watch and stay up with our teething baby. Because if I was at all tipsy, I'm just like now that she's getting more sleep, and I don't really need that much sleep because I'm a man. She's been making unbelievable food. Like tonight, Amy made homemade barbecue sauce, all homemade, with fried chicken from local chicken and homemade cornbread. It was unbelievable. So now that Amy, she always cooks dinner for us and lunch for us and breakfast for us, but the more sleep she gets, the more unbelievable the meal is. And so it's a big relief for me to know I'm not actually addicted to alcohol. I'm addicted to the ritual of four-wheeling to the local store, making small talk. Like, I will say this, though. The lady that I always chat with, she did give me the "did you get a DUI" look when I put the Arizonas up there. She didn't ask me, but I'll give you a perfect example of what it's like being tall. Just today, this is why I have no problem making fun of short people. It's nonstop. Just today in the store, this little dude, he was great. He was like one of these little dudes. You could tell he like owned a mechanic's shop or something. You know, hardworking dude. He's probably, I was a little wet brain, as they say. But he just looks at me, he's like, "You're one of our biggest customers." And I'm like, And then I was standing behind him in line, and he just kept going with my height. He said, "I was going to be your size, but then I realized I would have had to buy new pants." And I'm like, He's like, "Yeah." And then he goes, "You know, a buddy I work with down at the shop, he's your size, and I always open the door and walk in just fine. And I realized he can't walk in without hitting his head." And I'm like, "Yeah, we always hit our heads." And it just kept going. And I'm not mad at him. That's what I miss. That's what I like about the ritual is I like to see other people as I buy my tall boys. But I don't think you guys understand how much short dudes talk about our height. It's just nonstop. And they just treat us like animals. But it's fun. It's funny. Hi, George. Are you my big boy? Me and George's relationship is doing amazing. He's coming when I call him now. He thinks I'm a good dude. It's pretty great. Ever since I've been having him play with big dogs during the day. He didn't get to today, so he's a little agitated, I think. But everything's just going very well. It's odd. All right, so we're going to talk about... So little guys, just know when I make fun of you endlessly, just know it never stops for us. Like in any store I go to, it's like,
how's the weather up there? I'm not kidding. That joke is said to me more than you guys even want to know. And I'm always like, you know, it's pretty rainy. I don't even know what to say. So I'm going to talk about gardening today, because why not? Gardening's awesome. My goal, by the time I'm 40, this is my goal, is to consume all the food that we eat, all of it, and I mean all of it, comes from Ursa Manor. That's my goal by 40, every bit. So I'm going to give you guys, what's this? Oh, is it another Arizona half and half iced tea lemonade? I guess that's a little something called an Arnold Palmer, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't the booze I was addicted to. It was having tall boys with bears. That's just so refreshing. All right. So let me give you a little tour of my manor, all the gardening I've been up to. Do not spill that tall boy, George, or you will never play with your friends again. Now read Super Chats. And I'll play you guys two comedy bits because I'm working on the comedy book. I'd like to talk to you guys about that. And yeah, unauthorized.tv. Subscribe to that. Don't be gay. Okay. So here's my beautiful wife and child. That's Charlie. That's what part of it looks like. It's just that vibe. And that little thing, there's one bunny left because Dum Dum behind me killed the other bunny. But it's good for, you know, bunnies are cool for kids to play with and they make good fertilizer. That's the other part. That's another little chicken area. All right, you get the idea. All right, so I got a bench today, and me and Walter were sitting on it. So the broccoli's already starting to sprout. Sit your ass down, George. If you want to be here with me, you got to sit there. He's like, me and him are acting like a married couple that just doesn't even want to talk about it. So things are starting to sprout. You have no idea how exciting that is for all of us. George, get out of here. Just get your ass out of there. We're doing really well before this, George. Hang on, let me close this. Let's go out there and party. Go out there and have some fun. Go out there and have... Unbelievable. I got to figure out how to show George what a field is. George, come on. Just go out to the field. You want to sit here? All right. I guess he's scared of small bicycles. We're doing really good, I promise. All right, so there's the all the blueberry bushes that are coming up. And broccoli starting to sprout. Hey, love. No, he's fine. Yeah, he's cool. He's chilling. He's just being, high maintenance George, but he'll chill out. All right, so we got, hey, Amy, say hi to the people. Just say hi to people. Tell the people about Sober Owen's ability to work with Charlie at night.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everyone.
My beautiful wife, Amy.
So Owen's see this.
The rituals change. It's now no booze.
I'm glad.
All right.
That's good. Owen's gotten up with Charlie at the time of the night where I'm like, it's hard for me to do it anymore. But he's been getting up with him like between 3 and 5 a.m., which is a rough one, but it's really been helping. So I'm trying to night wean Charlie, and it's easier for Owen to help because he can't smell milk on Owen.
Yeah, and isn't it better than, like, if I'd have some beers, you wouldn't trust me to not roll over?
Yeah, or just even to, like, really wake up too much, because with Walter, Owen had a hard time sleeping through Wally's cries because it was, like, a new sound. And so it was hard for him to get settled, but over the years, Owen's, like, trained himself to try and sleep through cries, which I know sounds weird, but, like, you instinctively want to get up, so, like, when Owen has to work, you know, and in the mornings, I told him, like, sleep in, and so he's had to, like, train himself to sleep through cries, but now when he helps with Charlie, he has to kind of reverse on it, so with any alcohol on, it's, like, it's easier to sleep through him again.
Yeah, it's a lot like social media. It's like I've learned how to just sleep through cries now. You know, it's like when people, especially with a certain demographic of people, we'll just call them the men in hats.
And don't you think Owen looks so much like healthier and glowing? I think so. I think he looks quite handsome.
Thank you, sweetheart. Yeah. So anyway, it's like you get used to crying, whether it's a baby.
Embarrassed you.
You did a little. or men in small hats. Her dinner tonight. I was telling the people already about it. How did you make your homemade barbecue sauce?
Oh, well, it's not the healthiest. I don't really want to promote it.
Just say the truth, woman.
Okay. Well, it's ketchup, mustard, some brown sugar, paprika, red wine vinegar or white wine vinegar, some water, and you just blend it. I think that might have been it. I can't remember. I think that's all of it, though.
Do you think there'll be a day when we can make it completely from scratch, like from everything from Ursa Manor?
I don't really know how to make vinegar. Besides apple cider vinegar.
I mean, that's why we have all the apple trees.
But, like, how do you make, like, where does normal just white vinegar come from? I know there's, like, rice vinegar, white wine vinegar.
We've got to do apple vinegar.
So you just keep, you just let things just.
I'm not good at that.
Fermenting that's, through the alcohol
stage. I just provide. You're the one who has to figure out.
Yeah, we could make it totally from scratch.
Yeah, because my goal by 40, I was telling the people, is to eat everything that is exclusively from here.
What I've actually, this is just a little tidbit to help people just eat healthier in general. Try to always make your sauces and salad dressings at home and not store-bought, because even when it's like a very natural dressing.
That Wally?
Yeah, he's mad at me. I came down to see if George wanted help, and he's mad I'm not snuggling with him anymore.
He's like, Mama, nuggle.
Can you see him right there?
Where is he?
He's down in the living room. He's like, he literally just knocked on the window and then glared.
Yeah, he was really like, get upstairs, woman.
But yeah, always try to make your stuff at home, because it's filled with a lot of preservatives.
And we have to build a root cellar. So if anyone has any advice on that.
All right, I'm going to go inside. He's in that window.
Where is he?
All right, well, let me...
Hey, bud. I love you.
Love you.
All right. That's my woman. That's my woman. All right, so... what else we got here? Beans. Oh, I should... Hey, love! Amy! What do you put with the beans? What's on the side of the beans? Like, what do you pair with the beans?
Well, bush beans and pole beans are different. But bush beans, you can do, I think, cucumbers and carrots. Pole beans, I forget.
That's all right. Go do your thing.
But, yeah, bush beans and pole beans are two different. Like, they have different companion plants.
So, Amy knows all the companion plants now. Hey, Ben. And so, bush beans and pole beans, you combine them with like cucumbers and stuff like that, because beans put nitrogen back in the soil. Very healthy stuff. Everything has to have a companion, just like me and you, my love. So we got, he can be out here, it's fine. So, actually, no, he'll be a pain in the ass. Benny, go inside. What goes with the strawberries?
In our current place?
Yeah.
There's asparagus.
Strawberries and asparagus?
Yeah, we have asparagus.
That sounds really nice. So, what goes with the potatoes?
Potatoes?
Just all potatoes? Or they have other root vegetables?
No, you can do things with potatoes. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. But we only have potatoes in there right now.
Nice. And then what goes with, is it kale with the herbs when you put the herbs in there?
Yeah, you can do aromatic herbs with kale.
Aromatic herbs with kale. It helps for some reason. And then what do you put, what's with the garlic? Garlic and what? What's that?
Actually hinder other
plants. But the long, thin one.
Oh, leek.
Oh, those leeks?
Or onions and elephant garlic and turnips, so a root vegetable, and sweet peppers do well with it. And then I also have mustard greens at the very end.
And what's this one?
a bush. Aromatic herbs and kale.
Nice. And what about, oh, that's a different one? Yeah. All right, thank you.
All right, see ya. Love. Wouldn't want to be ya.
There's Bang. Bang inside. Hey. You're Mr. Bamboozle. So that is an area that we haven't. He can stay here. I don't care.
Are you sure?
He's, as long as he's here, he just, or else he'll just start wandering around.
Right. Well, my phone dies.
It's all good. So this is the part of the yard. It's pretty dark looking, but we kind of want to put goats over there. As you can see, that's the hygge culture setup from my episode of Anti-Semitic Gardening. We have magnolia trees because there's a lot of moisture in that soil, and we're going to use those trees to lower the water table slightly so we can actually grow things there. What else we got here? So people have asked me if I make my own compost. This year, I had to buy a lot of soil because it was our first year at this house, and I hadn't made my own compost. But I have two bins. One's more carbon-centered. The other's more nitrogen-centered. I believe that's it. So everything from coffee grounds, eggshells, everything that just, you know. And then the other side is more like hay, rabbit and chicken shit, and grass clippings, sod. And then you have to turn it. And one side is exposed to water and the other isn't. I don't know. I just felt like that was a pretty cool move. Here's our greenhouse. As you can see, Amy's growing a bunch of stuff. That's strawberries up top. And, things sprout in there, and then we put them in the ground. So that's another angle. There's my boy sitting on the on a little bench. And then Dad gets the hammock. That's where Dad has been doing some reading lately. Those are olive trees. So one thing about gardening that's really good to help you with a long-term view of life is you have to think in terms of not just seasons, but years. You know, sometimes people just think tomorrow, yesterday, today. I can't even think a week ahead of time. When you're growing olive trees, I'm not going to plant those for at least a year because they can be hardy, but they require a little wood on them first. You know, they're still a little small. So they will be in the greenhouse during the winter, this winter. Next winter, they should be okay. Let's see what else we got here. Those are my raspberry bushes. Oh, the orchard side of the property is off the chain. I can't wait to show it to you guys. We now have red currant, black currant, a bunch of types of grapes, more raspberries, more blueberries, a bunch of herbs, peach trees, plum trees, pear trees, cherry trees, apple trees. It's just getting, and I've been putting a forest mix over all the grassy areas so that it can kind of just decompose and not allow the grass to grow, but at the same time, not become compacted like fine bark can do. And here's a funny story about the ducks. So we didn't kill that one. So this one alpha duck is the one. We have two males and three females now. We raised the three females from the time they were little ducklings, little eggy, like tiny. And one of the males is super aggressive. We decided to not end its life because ducks are naturally just very aggressive. It's not like chickens, where chickens, if you get a rooster that's way too aggressive, it's a liability. Ducks, they will just beat the shit out of stuff, like female ducks. And at first it's a little unsettling and you think you're like, oh, this guy's a little too aggressive. But we decided, based on what a lot of people wrote to me, to save him. And one of the funniest things happened. So every now and then we have to put him in isolation in case he makes one of the other ducks, whether it's the gay male or the three female, he'll make them bleed. And so we put them in isolation until they heal, but then we let them back out. They love him still. Okay, so this Mac Daddy in his little isolation, all four of them, if there's any like a sound or anything, they run right towards him in the isolation. He still managed to get feathers in his mouth, even in isolation, because of his strength and aggression. The females still go to him, even though he's locked up. I found that to be unbelievably interesting. All right, paypal.me/feedthebear if you want to super chat me, send me a little message, or just support the channel. I will start reading them soon. So I'm currently setting up... Oh, I didn't take a picture of this area. I'm currently setting up an area for a sauna because I bought a sauna kit before YouTube stole all the money from me. So that was not exciting, but it's all good. And so I have to set up an electrical panel for it. It's outside in this cool area. I'll show it to you tomorrow. But saunas will put literally years on your life. You get a nice outdoor sauna. Get one where you build it yourself. It's a lot cheaper and more enjoyable. But also make sure you get like a tub. And I'm talking one you get from, Tractor Supply or something. Fill it with ice water. Jack up your sauna to 180 and keep going in and out of ice water to sauna. That will make your immune system unbelievable. And so that's coming up. But it's definitely hard trying to find white people to do contracting work. And I'm just being honest. I understand why the Mexicans they keep coming here because the whites are, a lot of them are lazy. And here's a bit I did from 2 years ago about it. And then we'll talk about it. This is from my special, How Dare Me. You can buy it at hugepianist.com.
So I was like, who can do roofing? And someone at the bar was like, you want the best roofer in the whole world?
By the way, this is 100% true. This story, I mean, I've obviously changed dialogue, I guess. It wasn't like exact, but this is exactly true. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have been through this. So if you really care about keeping our demographics in America and open borders and all that, work harder. Because I don't hire Mexicans. I don't hire illegals. But I'll tell you what, illegals will jump at any opportunity to work. So instead, I just have to wait around for people.
So I was like, who can do roofing? And someone at the bar was like, you want the best roofer in the whole world? I'm like, by world, do you mean this little area? They're like, isn't that the world? And I'm like, yeah, I want the best roofer. And he's like, then you're going to want One-Eyed Gary over there. And it's like the crowd kind of parts. There's just some dude. He's like, oh, One-Eyed Gary's the best roofer in the world. I'm like, when can I get him to start? They're like, he doesn't work in the winter or deer hunting season. You can't get One-Eyed Gary then. And he won't come before 10, and he leaves by 3. He doesn't have any of his own tools. And you got to pick him up because he has 11 DUIs. And his girl's going to come to the job site, and they're going to fight like scary bad. But he's the best. I'm like, how did he lose his eyes? Like, he's got 2 eyes. I'm like, why is he called One-Eyed Gary? They're like, what's going on with you? And I realize the nicknames here have nothing to do with who you are. And I'm from Oswego, New York, which isn't as... Are you know Oswego? Nice. Oswego, New York isn't as... It's a little more... What's that? Plattsburgh? You don't like Plattsburgh? You like Oswego better? What do you like, the 3 nuclear power plants or the opioid addiction?
Is that it? I thought there was more to that joke. It's all good. Anyway, if you're blown away by how funny that is, which you should be... Oh my God, but you're so scary sometimes. When you talk, you're so scary. Yeah, put me in front of a crowd. You'll hear enough laughter where you're like, oh, I'm retarded. All right, anyway, let's read some super chats. I'm going to show you my Portland song. And by the way, everyone knows what I just played was true. It's like, I mean, dude, I have a lot of buddies that are like, yeah, I could totally help you out. It's like, but it's deer season. Then it's crossbow season. Then it's bow hunting season. You know, then it's salmon fishing. And then, you know, I usually take about 8 weeks to just drink. It's like, all right, now you see why people are running at our border. Richard, hey, Big Bear. We talked about losing shekels and what it does to you on Instagram the other day. It's Travis. This is part of my tithe, but also my first super chat to you. So may I be verified as right side up bear. Welcome. I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. You're one of the main factors. I came back to Jesus, stopping watching porn, Netflix, jacking off, and I stopped being a Christian Zionist. I used to go to John Hagee's church, if you know who that is. I thought that Israel was a good force in the world. Fucking Alex Jones, haha. I used to be a huge info warrior as well. Now I'm a bear. Welcome, my friend. I promised myself I wouldn't talk about the men in small hats tonight, so I'm going to move on, but I love that you're here. Hey, Big Bear, love all you do and what you're doing. I wish you and your family a long and prosperous life, and well, prosperous life as well as our community. You really did help me find the piece of me that was missing and made me feel empty. I cannot say thanks enough. I would like to ask you a tough question. Well, hopefully I have a tough answer. I have a friend that's more or less brainwashed by Ben Shapiro, imperialistic warmongering rhetoric. Could I ask your best shot at showing BS is BS? Yeah. Yes. I hate who my friend has become because he has that same never-ending rage you get from watching the Ben Shapiro show and heavy biases towards Israel over our own nation. Thank you, and may God bless you and your loved ones. Well, just ask him, why didn't Ben Shapiro ever serve in the military if he likes war so much? And ask him why we went to Iraq. And ask him why we're going to Iran. And ask him why we want to go to Syria. Just ask him, how does that serve us at all? All right, that's enough of men with small hat talk. They're just infuriating. Hello from BC, Owen. I wanted to share my rewrite of the lyrics to Leonard Cohen's Dance Me to the End of Love. I was inspired by the Russian children's talent show performance of Hallelujah, where they changed the lyrics. I like Cohen's version, but there's a few things I didn't like. In particular, I wanted to remove the reference to Babylon. I thought I'd share in case you wanted to play it. I can. I'll come back. I don't know that song, the original. I got to check it out, though. Oregon, when I quit drinking, I switched to kombucha. It's also fermented, refreshing, and bubbly, and gives you those guttural burps. It's also probiotic, so it helps you digest food and maintain good gut health and mood. I like Soma brand balanced flavor. I know, but then I'm going to have to force my store to carry it. It's a pretty normal corner store. Like, they don't even have, like, seltzer water without sugar in it. I'm going to have to be like, listen, you're going to have to carry kombucha, because the whole thing is I get on my four-wheeler and I go to the store to get three tall boys. I'm probably just going to end up drinking this type of shit. I don't know. Because it's the ritual. But I get where your head's at. Maybe I'll just go there, buy three things, dump them out, and drink kombucha. I don't know. There's got to be a workaround here. Hopefully that helps people, though, that there's always a workaround with addiction, because there's a good chance you're addicted to the ritual, not the thing itself. When I played lacrosse in college, there'd be times when we couldn't drink because of games and stuff. And I would go to bars and just pound water. And I used to literally think that I felt better and like almost more loopy from being overly hydrated. I don't know. Something to think about. Oh, and so my license to practice dentistry was suspended in 2004 for drinking alcoholically. After a year of sobriety, my license was reinstated. I found Logos and became wildly successful by the grace of God, beyond my wildest dreams. So here's my take on your situation. And I'm right. Trust me, I'm a doctor. The good news is that you never have to get drunk again. The bad news is that alcohol is not your problem. Make a list of your resentments and get back to me. Be ready for joy beyond belief. Every single resentment I have is about people that I promised myself I wouldn't talk about this podcast. I resent my dad for not wanting to having more interest in my children. I resent other Americans for not caring at all about what's happening in the world and just kind of living their life that they didn't earn. I resent comedians that don't face the reality of free speech or the reality of comedy, and they just take the paycheck and watch people like me burn. I resent. You know who else I resent? Hey, Big Bear. Hope you're doing well, man. Wondering if you've been able to check your mail lately. I sent you a hatchet. Oh, dude, I'll do that. Tomorrow will be all mail. It's given to me when I was in the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division. It's definitely not lost. I have it here somewhere. I haven't opened any mail, though. I only do it on streams. They present the hatchets to the company, battalion, and brigade command teams. And I wanted you to have the hatchet since, well, you're a leader. I was a captain in the Army as of 21st March 2019 and was medically discharged due to back injuries. But yeah, I wanted you to have the hatchet since it symbolizes leadership. I sent it to 727 Gig Harbor, the P.O. Box, and it shipped back to Fort Bragg. And it gets, oh, it gets shipped back? I gotta go to, I'll go tomorrow. I gotta text Amy that, just so she remembers. One second, ladies and gentlemen. We have a bona fide hero here that needs to be reminded. He's reminding. All right. Hatchet tomorrow from post office. Woman. Thank you, brother. I'll be honored. Honored. I'm honored. I'll go tomorrow. Greg, hey, Big Bear, I think you and the Bears should create a ballad for Joe Biden called The Ballad of Creepy Joe. Oh, dude, Vox told me the same thing. He wanted me to write Ballad of Creepy Joe. It's hilarious. From the Leonard Skinner song, Ballad for Curtis Lowe. Also, can I be verified as Nigger Bear? Thanks. Welcome, Nigger Bear. Well, I'll show you one called Creep. This is about Portland. Check this out.
Here's one just for Portland.
By the way, the name of this album is called Reluctant Warlord. You can get it at hugepianist.com. Little backstory, I couldn't get a venue in Portland, so I performed in my buddy's wood shop on the back of a military truck. Dude, I'm telling you, you can make things happen. You can just will thing. If you don't give up, you can do it.
Here's one just for Portland. No, I really wrote this just for Portland. What am I doing here? The city is insane. Lanes. Grown men dress like they're homeless and look annoyed with their ironic mustache that's dripping with soy. Full of weirdos. What the hell am I doing here? I'm not even trans queer. He's chugging all the soy. He chugs the soy. He chugs, 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 chugs. And he has full-blown AIDS. All right.
I had spent like a few hours that day working on the song. I think I probably asked some of the Bears for some lyrics, and I was all that. That's just such a exactly what I would do. I write this great song that's funny, and as I'm performing it on a taped special, I realize I don't have an ending. So I'm like, everyone has AIDS. Like, I didn't have an ending. Because I wrote it that day. All right. Hey, Big Bear. I read that one. A Joe Biden version. Smell your hair if you're 10 years old. His arthritic hands are creepy and bold. He worked for Obama, that's how he got in. Everyone had to put up with creepy Joe Biden, and he likes to rape. He'll rape if you're sleeping. What the hell is he doing here? Doesn't anyone have a rope? I don't know. Did we just hang Joe Biden? He's smelling your daughter's hair, but you're just grinning. You aren't even there. She feels so happy. Cause her daddy's in Congress, and he sold out his daughter. He doesn't care if you squirm, and he's covered in germs. He makes dudes in the shower look at his balls. True story. Smell your hair. Doesn't care if you squirm. What is that on his hands? It's crusty old sperm. It's all happening on the C-SPAN in front of you. but he gets away with it. 'Cause he's connected to Jews. I told myself I wouldn't, but it rhymed so well. All right. He's smelling all the hair. Would you publish your version of The Giving Tree, please? Love your work. Regards, Jim. Yeah, maybe I'll play. I'll show it to you guys right now. If it's around here, hang on a second. All right. So this is my version of The Giving Tree. It's not for sale. It was once. It's a very limited time offer. I made 100. The Trading Tree by Owen Benjamin. Because I always hated The Giving Tree. So we made a better version. When I'm broke, I'm real motivated to sell stuff. So I sold 100 and never sold any again. There once was a tree. It's called The Trading Tree. And she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come. Amy drew all this, by the way, to match the style. And he would gather her leaves. I won't turn it every time. And make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree, and the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older, and the tree was often alone. It takes quite a funny turn at this point. Then one day, the boy came to the tree. And the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb on my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I am too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money?" "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you will be happy." So the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy. The boy came back because he had sold the apples for 10 cents apiece. He had picked 10 apples, so he had made $1. "Take more apples, boy," said the tree. "But you only have 75 more apples. That's only $7.50," said the boy. "But I want you to have them all. I want you to take them all," she said. The boy thought about it for a long time and said, "I'll only need 20 more apples. Trust me, tree." When the boy returned, he had a shovel and some seeds. "I traded 10 apples for this shovel and 5 apples to a botanist to teach me how to grow saplings with the remaining 5 apples," said the boy. "Great," said the tree. "Now swing on my branches and sleep in my shade." "Not yet, but soon." "I have work now, tree," said the boy as he left. It's all original drawings from my beautiful wife, Amy. Sometime later, the tree realized there were 5 more trees, full of just as much love as her right beside her. "I'm a pear tree," said one. "I grow figs," said another. "I also grow apples," said the last tree. And they were so happy. When the boy came back, they all greeted him. He had several baskets with a few helpers. "I love you, tree, so I didn't want to pick you until you died, especially not for only $7.50. So I diversified my crop and got you friends so you don't get lonely. Since I can now get over 1,000 apples, I can sell them for 8 cents apiece, eliminating my competition," said the boy. "And pears are 30 cents, said the pear tree, because I have a shorter growing season. The tree was overjoyed. She loved to see how happy the boy was, and she loved her new friends. Now when the boy left, the trees would chat with her new friends, and there were more every day. Workers would climb on her and swing from her branches. They weren't the boy, but it felt good to be appreciated. Years passed, and the boys returned. You made me a very rich man, said the boy. You have given me a family and friends and a purpose to my day, said the tree. I also have a beautiful family, and my children will be provided for with the profits from Boy Orchard for generations. And I owe it all to you, said the boy. And now I think there is something that's long overdue. And the boy napped under the tree and was happy, and so was the tree. And there were thousands of people they employed and millions of people that got to enjoy such wonderful fruit at a reasonable price. The end. The trading tree. Because the giving tree was disgusting. He killed the tree for his own greed, for no reason. Here's a... Oh, and by the way, none of that had anything to do with usury or sodomy, so don't even go down that route. There was no debt at all. No debt, guys. That's using currency, not loving currency. Anyway, it's providing a service without debt. What was I going to tell you guys? Yeah, I couldn't stand the giving tree. It was so gross. It was barter. Yeah, it was barter. It was, I mean, you got, whatever. I'm not. Oh, and as you guys know, like I've replaced alcoholic beverages with non-alcoholic beverages, and it works just fine. Did you guys know that Joe Rogan actually quit smoking? Joe Rogan used to smoke, and then he realized it was just an oral fixation, and he replaced cigarettes with dudes' dicks. That's how Joe Rogan quit smoking cigarettes. He replaced it with dudes' dicks. I don't know if I got enough laughs on that one because I can't hear any laughter, but Joe Rogan used to smoke cigarettes, but then he realized it was just an oral fixation, so he started blowing a bunch of dudes in the alley. And then it turned out he didn't even quit smoking. He just started smoking harder drugs. Thought you weren't drinking. I'm not drinking alcohol. This is not alcohol. This is a half and half tea lemonade. Arnold Palmer. I realized that it was the ritual I missed. Someone just said replacing alcohol with high fructose corn syrup. I actually live on a farm where I grow my own food. You fucking. I hate people so much. It's unbelievable. I can't wait to get rid of this chat thing and have my own chat that's not just full of awful pieces of shit. I just rewrote the giving tree to be positive and hopeful. And I quit drinking. And someone goes, yeah, but is there corn syrup in there? I may just quit the stream at this point. James, I read that one. Hola, BB. You're completely right about the ritual. I quit smoking cigarettes 7 years ago. And the hardest part was not lighting up a cig as soon as I got into the car and buckling up. So I started just holding the cigarette without lighting it when I would drive. And that really helped me break the addiction, the ritual addiction. You can do it, BB. Mucho love to you from Olympias, So Gay Bear. Yeah, I've already realized I'm not addicted to alcohol, which means like in the future I can drink again. It's just right now as I'm helping my wife with the tea. And maybe I'll not even want to. I don't even know. But for dude, today, like earlier in the day, I was like, man, this sucks. I really want to just go get some White Claws on my four-wheeler and then crack them open like I do every night. And then I realized that it was more about the four-wheeler. Because I'm in a good mood. I'm cheery. I'm going to be doing shorter streams this week, especially this week because of Charlie. I've been going to bed at like 9. So because I'm up at 3. I go to sleep around 10. So, yeah. But that's all right. I'm still going to be doing streams. I'm just not going to be doing them for the epic amounts of times I have in the past. My wife has been very, very happy that I've been taking some of the workload. Awesome, Big Bear. I hope you like the hatchet, man. And thanks for the props, man, but I'm no hero. Many more of our service members that have done more than me. That's exactly what heroes say, by the way. You don't even know you're a fucking hero. But that's what heroes are. Of course a hero says that. All right, let me, I got a funny one. I'm going to show this dude a clip I did called I'm No Hero. Hang on, he'll laugh. Because I'm like, people sometimes think I'm a hero, but I'm really not. I'm like a half step off being a hero. Like I have like I do some courageous stuff and I'm resilient and I'm a leader, but I'm not like, I'm off. I'm like a half beat off. So I wrote a bit just about that. Hang on. You'll see. It's called The Hero's Journey. Hang on a second. People that think they're heroes that aren't heroes make me laugh so... make me laugh so hard. I've had experiences where one time... I'll tell you after I show the bit because I don't want to ruin the concept of the bit. But I've like been an almost hero many times, but never a hero. I'm gonna check this out. Like if you tell the story of something I said, if you tell half the story, you're like, wow, what a hero. But if you tell the whole story, people are like, really? All right, check this one out.
I was getting on my plane. Not my plane. It was a public plane. and the flight attendant comes up to me. She just picks me out of the crowd for some reason, you know. And she's like, excuse me, sir. Except she talked like you guys. I was like, eh, da, da, da.
By the way, I did that joke because I was in England. Like when I was making fun of how they talk.
Do you guys not like being made fun of? I always like British people because you guys like being made fun of. Are you guys offended that I'm like mocking how you speak? Because you sound retarded. But that's all right. Anyway, so I'm getting on the plane, and this woman's like, excuse me, sir, are you willing and able to sit in an exit row? And normally, I wouldn't even be able to look her in the eye. I'd just be like, I think you have me confused with somebody else. Baby, I'm no hero. But for some reason, I think it was hanging out with all those Scottish dudes with swords. I just had like an extra shot of confidence. And she was like, are you willing and able? And before she could even speak, I just go, you goddamn right I am. And her eyes twinkled. And she smiled like that hopeful smile. You know, like we're going to be okay. And I'm like, yeah, we will. And she goes and reprints the boarding pass. She throws away my coward pass. And then she comes back. And when she reprints it, that's when all the people start noticing. That's when things get uncomfortable for me. You know, everyone's staring, especially the children. Children are innocent. So they're like, Mommy, is that the hero? And she's like, yeah, baby, I want to fuck him so much more than Daddy. It's a true story. But I don't let that go to my head. Power corrupts, right? So I don't even listen. I just take my boarding pass. And I nod at the people. They nod back, you know. Some people are weeping. One guy's whacking off. So as I'm walking onto the plane, people are already seated. And they look at me. They start being like, thank you. You know, they're trying to touch me. And I'm like, hell out of here. I'm like, I'm not here for me. Don't you praise me. I'm just a man here to save you people. And they're like, oh, everyone's getting so horny, you know. And then I sit in the exit row. And I finally feel comfortable. I'm like, maybe I've been a hero this whole time. I didn't even know it. Maybe I just need to be tested. And then I got so excited, I started ordering drinks. I was like, yeah, give me a couple shots. And before you know it, I was blacked out by 30,000 feet.
All right, so anyway, there's another story like that. So this is Benny, by the way. He's 15. I've had him for 14 years, haven't I, Benny? What do you got in your eye? You literally have something on your eye and you don't even care. That's weird. Oh, now it's off. So one time, this dude was in front of a bar. And this dude was fighting with his chick. And he was being, like, abusive fighting. Not abusive, but, like, I was drunk and everyone was drunk. And he was, like, in this girl's face, and she was, like, small. And he was like, you fucking bitch. It's like, you fucking bitch. And I remember I was just like, I had enough. And I just... And I was ready to drop this guy, too. And I just go over, and I was like, hey, don't talk to that bitch. Don't talk to that bitch like that. And they both just looked at me like I was insane. Because I had just called the girl a bitch and I had never met her. But I was just repeating what he was saying. She was like, like, you bitch. I was like, don't you talk to that bitch like that. And then they both just kind of like made up. Like they just, they kind of just started. Because it was, that's what I mean. It's like that half step hero. Where I was ready to knock this dude out for disrespecting this girl, but as I was defending her, I was calling her a bitch without realizing it. That's the story of my life. All right. Time to land the plane. I think an hour is a good amount these days until I don't have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning because somebody wants to be a bit of a dick. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about? See if I missed some of these. PayPal.me/FeedTheBear. So much I want to say to you. Here's one regarding space in the universe. I'm convinced that the Thunderbolts project is onto something. They're actually doing experiments to derive theories, not conjecturing from computer models. Hans Alvin observes, we have to learn again that science without a contact with experimentation is an enterprise which is likely to go completely astray into imaginary conjecture. Thanks, Owen. Well, I don't know about the first part, not because I'm not saying it's wrong. I just literally don't know about it. But yeah, if you can't run experiments, you're literally just daydreaming. That's all science is, just daydreams. You know, Albert Einstein, I always liked the concept of like the thought experiment. But it's really just nothing. A thought experiment is just being creative. A thought experiment is nothing. It's just an imagination. You know, and it's like, imagine, you know, being in an elevator next to a lightning bolt. It's like, yeah, okay. You should write a novel and it'd be under science fiction, Albert. You small-headed liar. Hey, Big Bear, I thought I'd toss you some honey after you've inspired me to make some changes in my life. I'm 20 years old, and you've helped me see the world in a more clear lens. Might be verified as Aporia Bear. Welcome. Last thing, on a scale of sodomy to logos, where would you rate Scientology? You're doing great, kid. If sodomy is 1 and logos is 20, I would rate Scientology at 1. Because Tom Cruise's dick would be in your ass, which is technically sodomy, and it's nonsense. It's like an upside down triangle full of nonsense. I'm saying this once more, hoping you'll acknowledge my emails from blah, blah, blah. Little Bear Witness. Thanks much. I'll check it out, but you have to understand, I get hundreds, if not thousands, of messages a day, and I'm not trying to say that to be whatever. Just know that when people are like, okay, I guess I'll have to send a third time. that's almost like being at a rock concert and being like, Stairway to Heaven. And then being like, I guess I'll just have to request it again. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you understand why, if I ever don't respond, it's not because what you wrote to me wasn't cool. There just isn't any possible way. Hey, Big Bear, Cinnamon Bear here. Since I stopped draining my jazz strength, I've been thinking, I hope it's not too dark. Why do you think many of us bury our dead in metal caskets? If we have many vital nutrients in us, why do we seal it from getting back into the soil? It stops the circle of life. Not saying I look forward to my decomp process, but isn't it dumb that we do this? My answer is wooden caskets and cremation. Well, yeah, when you're embalmed, you get pumped full of chemicals. And, hey, man, I mean, my enemies are always part of the cycle. If someone's ever an enemy of mine, they can rest assured that they will be put back into the energy cycle of the earth in the form of pig feces. So if you think about it, the best person you can be is my enemy, because you won't be embalmed. You won't be put in a metal casket. You'll be fed to pigs and then used as a nutrient so that more can eat from you. I don't know. Just something to think about. There you go. I'm gonna look up the chords. Freebird. I can never remember how Freebird goes. I wonder if it's because of wizardry. Drugger? I mean, why would she not remember him after a day?
For I must be traveling on now. There's too many places I've got to see. If I stay
this song's so, I love Simple Man. I don't like Freebird. It's so pretentious.
Bye, bye, bye. It's been a sweet.
It's like, what if the chick doesn't even care? It's like, if I leave her tomorrow, would you still remember me? She's like, yeah. For I must be traveling on now because there's too many places I must see. Okay. If I stay here with you, girl, things just wouldn't be the same. You don't have to be such a dick about it. Just go if you're going to go like that. Because I'm as free as a bird now, and this bird you cannot change. Well, birds keep going back to their own nest. That's one thing I don't think people understand about birds. Birds build a nest, and they continuously return to the nest until they die. Like, they don't, like, being a, just because you have the ability of flight doesn't mean, does it mean that you're just leaving your nest and your eggs? Like, pigeons are monogamous. Pigeons marry. The pigeons literally stay with the same other pigeon for life. So it's like, I'm as free as a bird now. It's like, pigeons have a higher rate of marital procreation than blacks do. Way higher. So do ducks. So do doves. So do all, you know, swans mate for life. It's like, what kind of bird are you talking about here, Skinnerd? Sounds slightly homosexual. Well, Mama told me when I was young, come sit beside me, my only son. Listen closely to what I say, and if you do this, it'll help you some sunny day. Oh, take your time. Don't live too fast. Troubles will come. I'm gonna play it a little lower. Oh, take your time. Don't live too fast. Troubles will come, and they will pass. Go find a woman, and you'll find love. And don't forget, some there is some. Such a good song. Holy shit, I forgot how good this song was.
Well, Mama told me when I was young, come sit beside me, my only.
I'm gonna do a mix up. Hang on. How does that song go? What's the dad? Hey guys, what's that dad song that I always love to play? I'm blanking on it hard right now. It's like, we were his pride. He's looking down. What's the dad song I always play? How's it go? My old man. That's right. Let's do a mix up. Man, that Simple Man is such, it's such powerful lyrics. Hang on. He was a giant, and I was just a kid. I was always trying to do everything he did. I can still remember every lesson he taught me, growing up, learning how to be like my old man. Mama told me when I was young to sit beside me, my only son. He was a lion, and we were our father's pride, but I was defiant when he made me walk the line. He knew how to lift me up and when to let me fall. Looking back, he always had a plan. He's my old man. My old man. I feel the callus on his hands and dusty overalls. His old man. So that song was a combination. It was advice from your mother and your father. Simple Man is such a good song. So is My Old Man. My Old Man by Zach Brown Band. Yep. Such a good song. All right, landing the plane, just double checking. See if I miss some. Mama told me. Troubles will come and they will pass. So good. She just wants her son to be satisfied. Isn't that so true, parents? It's like you want your kid to be able to just be like, this is good. That's everything you want for your kids. Hey, Owen, Dehydrated Garlic Berry here. You're talking about your land and your family has helped me conquer a serious lazy phase in my life. Here's a little something to show my appreciation. Anytime. Thank you. Could you talk more about how to conquer laziness for young males today? Thanks again. Yeah, it's figure out. No one's ever really lazy. They just get addicted to doing something that appears lazy, like television or video games or, I don't know. You're always doing something. It's just lazy somethings. If you just start doing other stuff, at first it seems like it's going to be hard, but it isn't. It's actually much. I have a really hard time doing lazy things, which is a problem as well. Here's something that's going to blow your mind. I have a hard time relaxing. I don't always, I'm not always capable of just sitting and just kind of like what mama wants you to have in Skinner. It's not that I'm unsatisfied. It's not that I'm not grateful or joyful. It's that I always see a problem that I can try and fix or some sort of thing I can do, which is kind of my natural state, but that kind of wears at you a bit. You know, people in my life that love me, contrary to what people in the media say about me, where they're like, he's really lost his mind. His family and friends must. No, they think I'm doing very well. The thing that they have a problem with me is that I don't always enjoy the fruits of my labor. They do sometimes think that, like, people that actually love me that are in my life do sometimes sit me down and have some tough truths with me, but it's never what you think it is. It's always, you know, Amy will be like, baby, I love you. I want you to live a long life. You have to be able to spend an hour today just doing absolutely nothing, please. And that's been a struggle for me, but I'm getting better at it. But I guess it's probably similar for what you do. You get addicted to what you believe to be lazy, but everything's an activity. Watching a television is an activity. That causes me more stress than anything. If I'm watching one of these garbage TV shows, I'm actively just tapping, being like, these people are evil. These people are evil. Like, I can't do that. So I hope that helped. I sent you a message on Patreon regarding a few topics I think you would be interested in, gardening and nutrition. Please check it out. Fight the good fight. Thanks, Ellen. Back to Eden Gardening. Hey, Jonas Vonderplanets. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Where do you think IBM's Deep Blue fits into the grander scheme of the Masters? I don't know what that is. Thankfully. I'm also currently trying to limit new horrors. Like, I'm just going to, you know, people are like, dude, wait till you see the next level. There's all these families that are all like these Italian controlling family names. And I'm like, let me enjoy the turnips. Because this is it's a marathon, you know, it's not a sprint. And the longer I can just be mentally and physically healthy, the more I can produce long term, the better of a person I can be. That way it isn't just a sprint. Hey, Big Bear, ever since I watched your video, The Hidden Purpose of Pornography, I've been trying to stop watching porn. It's been hard and it's been making a major difference in my life and how I feel. I just want to say thank you for inspiring a change in my life. God bless, man. And can I be verified as Dreamer Bear? You can be another Dreamer Bear. There's one Dreamer Bear already. But you can be Dreams Bear. Welcome, Dreams Bear. Yeah, the more you don't do it, the easier it gets and the more you feel strong from it. And it becomes silly after a while. Want to know what I would compare it to once you really get the hang of it? Remember like Smarties? Or like pixie sticks or like certain candies when you're a kid, like Nerds. Can you imagine going to a store now and buying Nerds? No, it's like that. Like there's times in your life where you're like, I can't imagine myself not just cracking open some pixie sticks and some Smarties. And then like you grow up and you're like, that sounds awful. It just sounds like condensed. Like sugar can, like, I just had a wave in my, like, I just tasted it in my mouth where it's like condensed sugar and flavor to a degree where it sounds repulsive now. That's where you'll get to with porn if you stick with it. It'll get to a point. It's like when I smell Kodiak chew. I used to chew that all the time, and now I'm like, oh, God, so intense. Like, you will recharge your brain so that you don't require that absurd amount of visual stimulation to be aroused, because I'm sure a lot of you guys have gotten to the point where the amount of porn you have to watch and the extreme nature of it is like, it just keeps escalating to where you're not even aroused. Reset button. And it'll work. It's like that with taste. You know, when I used to live in Eastern Europe, I remember when I first had a Snickers bar again back in the States, it blew my mind. It was like so intense because they don't have stuff like that there. They'd have like good chocolate and stuff like that, but it wouldn't be that like candy American thing. And I remember I was just like, this is not okay. All right, I think that does it. Hit the like button, share. Hugepianist.com if you want to be a supporter or just get one of my old specials or, you know, whatever. Unauthorized.tv, become a member there. You can watch stuff for free on there. Like when we do our live streams there, it's going to be for free. Like people have this weird psychosis that I'm always trying to like trick people into getting money. They're like, oh, you're just moving everyone over to Unauthorized so that you can make more money. It's like, no, it's still free. Like you can support to get like, you know, content that other, that like premium content, because it just feels better to be able to provide for people that pay extra. But that whole concept of like always trying to trick people into money is, it's all projection. And I understand why people think that way. This is a pretty sick world, but you got to stop with that. It's not good for your brain. Members only chat will be necessary. I mean, just look at the chat right now. I'm sure it's just like, everyone's a Nazi. You're going to die. Oh, your kids are evil. I don't know. It's like, that's just noise. And I'm not going to just take that abuse. And if there's any ability to weed those people out, I will always take it. All right, last one. Hey, Big Bear, a guy I know and Sam Albury wrote a book called Is God Anti-Gay? It's really interesting. It's a short read, might help some people. It popped in my mind when Vox was talking about Milo. Thanks, Brian. I'll check that out. Yeah, Milo's an interesting cat. I've never met Milo before. But, yeah, interesting dude. People have been writing to me about Milo, and it's like, here's the thing about Milo. He was abused. So, like, he said some crazy stuff, but you have to understand there's two ways that people will say stuff. And I'm not defending a guy I've never met, by the way. That's insane. But James Gunn, right, when he's writing about, like, he's, like, doing these, like, jokes, he's the predator. When Milo would do jokes, he's the prey. And so that's a phenomenon that happens where, because if anyone who knows Milo knows that he is, you know, he had this, like, he has this, like, attraction, like, older, giant, strong men. And he's reliving. I'm not a psychologist, but the psychology behind that is trying to make it okay what happened to you versus trying to make it okay what you do to people. And that's very different, because people wrote to me some troubling things. He was joking about like how it's okay for a gay dude to like be with a 14-year-old, which is the legal age where he's from or whatever. Bear in mind, that is what gays do in the gay world. Milo outed 3 pedophiles, by the way. Shit that can, like, really put you in danger. Again, I'm not defending his lifestyle at all. But you have to understand, when people like him say those type of things, where it's like, oh, that's great, it's fine, it's awesome, he's justifying his own abuse, not his own abuse towards others. It's abuse that happened to him, which a lot of women do that. Like, a lot of women that have been raped will just go on a bender, and they'll act like, you know, promiscuity and just sex with strangers is all okay, so that they're no longer a victim in their own mind. It's pretty messed up, but it isn't the evil that I think some people thought it was, where it's almost like it's easy to misinterpret people and think, oh, it's okay if I do this to a dude, like a young dude. When in reality, it's, I'm no victim. I like it. I liked it. And as someone who has dealt with almost like a pathological rejection of being a victim, I know that feeling where it's almost like being punched. You know, the metaphor would be someone punches you in the face and you're like, yes, finally, I got punched in the face. I need that. That's kind of like what some of these people do, where when you have a lot of shame around something, you try and act like not only is there no shame, it's great. It's awesome. So that's because I really looked into that because, you know, Vox is good friends with them and I'm good friends with Vox and we're doing a channel together. And Vox was talking about potentially working with them on the channel. And one of my stops, all stops, one of my, you know, like in a train where you pull that thing and it's just like, is anything that has to do with children. And so someone wrote to me something about that. About that he was saying it's okay to have sex with 12-year-olds. And I was like, whoa, because I don't know anything about Milo, really. I know he's a good writer. But so I looked into it, and it was a total hit piece on him. And it wasn't described properly. It was 14, and that does make a difference because that's the legal age, and that's what he related to as a victim, not as a perpetrator. He not only doesn't – at no point is he trying to justify him trying to be with a younger person. He likes giant black dudes that are huge. And that's gross in its own way, but it isn't – it's almost like reliving the trauma of victimization. So that's a whole different thing. Trust me, I looked deeply into this. Because I would have been like, this dude can't – because I'm not a – ironically, I'm not a super judgy person. Some people might think I am because I'm anti-sodomy. And usury and evil. But there's a few things where I'm like, I can't be associated with somebody. And then if you look into it, you're like, oh, that's a different thing. That's like, I've known a lot of people that have went through that where they're like, no, it's great. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not a victim. All right, I gotta go. Reap or reap? I don't know. I can't spell properly. That's not a secret. Is reap spelled R-E-A-P? So many gays are gays because of abuse. 100%. And a lack of father figure in their life. Like an absent dad and abuse will make a dude gay. And he doesn't push sodomy. He doesn't. He knows it's a sin. He doesn't say it's good. But yeah, if you don't have a dad and someone... rapes you when you're younger, it starts this horrible cycle. You really can make people gay. It's so interesting how all these evolutionist leftists think that being gay is genetic. It's like, okay, so you think that having a slight sexual advantage is the driving force of all genetics, right? Like, if you have a little bit more hair on your eyebrow that allows a little less sweat to hit your eye, you can hunt slightly better, have more children, and that's what propagates genes. Okay, how does a gene get propagated where all you want to do is fuck butts? They're like, No. Nothing is possibly less evolutionarily successful than being gay. It means that if you're really successful as a person, you don't have any kids. People are like, yeah, well, they closeted it. But we're talking about the like very minute, slight, tiny advantages of procreation is how evolution works to these people. It's bullshit, obviously. But like, it's like, okay, so being attracted to men would die as an evolutionary thing immediately. That's like not having a dick. All right. Hit the like button, share. Hugepianist.com, unauthorized.tv. Comment anything about gardening, all that stuff. And I feel pretty good about another addiction I'm breaking is not talking about the men in tiny hats. I think I did a really good job this stream, and I feel a lot better about it. that's also an addiction, figuring out what they're up to. And that's more what it is than anything else, is trying to figure out what they're up to is more consuming than what they're actually up to. Because I've been a little disappointed. I think it's a lot of dead ends. A lot of just confused little bastards. All right, much love, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow.